God whose glory fills the universe. That same God gives us life and breath and everything else. And he is with us, greeting us this morning, saying to you, grace and peace to you, from him who is and who was and who is to come, from the fullness of the Spirit before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the ruler of the kings of this earth. People of God, Jesus is risen. Jesus is risen indeed. Alleluia. Welcome to worship this Sunday morning here at La Grave in the sanctuary. To those of you worshiping with us online, it's a good day to be with the people of God, hearing God's word, to receive strength for the week ahead. And it's a fun Sunday to join us because it's Gems Sunday. So we'll hear songs, as you already have, from the Girls of the Gems Club. Have an opportunity to hear a little about that club throughout the year, and they'll be participating in leading elements of our worship service this morning. So we look forward to that. Those of you who are in a life stage that's similar to mine know that Mad May is upon us. The time when all kinds of things are winding up at school. There's concerts, there's sporting events. You hope you're not double booked. In the flurry of this season for parents, just be sure to take a look at the upcoming events for church. For everyone, take a look at that, especially if you're busy and you might have missed it. There are a lot of really cool things coming up this summer and into the fall that you want to get on your calendar sooner rather than later. So take some time to look through the bulletin today and reserve places in your schedule for some of those events. At this point in the service, we get to hear from the GEMS leaders and girls about their experience in the club this year. So Jenna and Maddie, and those of you who are leading in the litany, if you want to come and sit right here, that would be great.
Hi, my name is Maddie Kuiper. I'm in eighth grade. I have been coming to GEMS since I was in kindergarten. Through the years, some of my favorite memories in GEMS have been making friends and doing service projects like making dog biscuits for the Humane Society and collecting toiletries for our neighbors. I also enjoyed our special nights like special hymns. I won mini golf in third grade with my uncle. GEMS has been an important part of my life when times were tough, like during COVID and when my mom had cancer. I felt really loved by my friends and the counselors. I want to say thank you to GEMS for making GEMS happen, but especially to Miss Tina and our other counselors for all the things you could be doing on Wednesday night. You chose to come every week and help spread the love of Jesus to girls like me. Thank you.
Thanks, Maddie. My name is Jenna Mencarelli, and I have been the third grade counselor for the past 7 years, and I've had the privilege of having almost all of these girls and some girls in the audience in my classroom. GEMS has been around for 67 years. There are more than 800 clubs worldwide dedicated to supporting girls and helping them build and strengthen their walks with Jesus. For the 2024-2025 year, our theme this year was Transform. This comes from our verse that we're going to, I think, highlight later on, but I'm going to read it for you again here, which states, "Do not conform to the ways of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Using this verse, we often spoke this year about butterflies and the transformation process. When I think about it, our GEMS girls start as little caterpillars, and through the guidance of parents, school, church, and GEMS, they eventually transform. As a GEMS leader, we work to help our little caterpillars feed on good things and grow in God's truth and love so that they grow into beautiful, smart butterflies. And through that process, others can see God's will and work through them. Our jobs are to support and assist them in their faith journeys, and we send them off into the high school world ready to go and ready to share Christ's love. It's a pleasure to just be a small part of their journey, and watching them transform is why I keep being a GEMS counselor, just to be a little bit of a part of their journey. I want to thank all of you guys for your prayers and support that you've given us this year, and it's really been a pleasure watching our girls transform.
They are on the job. Please turn in your order of worship to the litany of the gems, litany that you will be leading us in.
This week, we remember that Jesus has risen. We also remember that although we will have trouble in this world, Jesus gives us what we need to walk with him. Hear these words from Romans 12, verse 2. It is easy to take our eyes off you. We looked for success, acceptance, and affirmation in places that hold power in this world rather than you. Teach us how to understand your word, though the life. To understand your word, though the life and teaching of Jesus, the word made flesh, who has made us new.
If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here.
We know that because of Jesus' death and resurrection, we can be forgiven for our sins and have a right relationship with you, God. As your people, help us to show the truth of who you are in this world. As we seek to understand what is true in this world, help us to stand on your word as the source of the most important truths we need to know, and help us to walk in these realities, for we need to know, and help us to walk in these realities, for you have called all of us to share you and your teaching with others.
Jesus said, "Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded to you. And surely I am with you always, in the end of me.
For we receive and joyfully accept your call to act justly, love mercy, and humbly walk with you. Amen.
Thank you. All right, children, it's time for the children's message. Come on down. Come and have a seat. I have a story for you, and I'm going to have someone with me to help with the story. Come on forward, everybody. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on. Hello, friends. Hello, friends. All right, we still got some balcony people. This is Ms. Tina. She is the head of the GEMS program. She's one of the counselors, and she's going to help me tell the story. So, special day. It's GEM Sunday, so the purple shirts. And they've had a theme all year, and the theme is based on a big word. I wonder if you know this word. Transformation. It's kind of a big word. You know what it means? It means change. It means a lot of change. Transformation. It means a lot of change. You know what that reminds me of? Change and transformation. It reminds me of something that happened to Frog and Toad a couple weeks ago. Yeah, it does. You see, what happened is that Toad was going to get a new neighbor. So someone was moving in right next door into the house. And Toad was very curious to find out who that person was. So he found out and he heard that the name of the person who was moving in was Cat R. Pillar. Cat R. Pillar. And as soon as he heard that name, he frowned because he knew Cat Pillar. He went to school with Cat Pillar, and when he went to school with Cat Pillar, she was not a nice person. She was grumpy, and she was mean. Well, you know what he did? He called up Frog right away and said, Frog, you will never guess who is going to move in next door to me. Cat Pillar. And Frog said, oh, no. She is grumpy and she is mean. When she was in school, she once ate all my mother's milkweeds just because. Well, both of them decided they were going to be there next week when Cat Pillar moved in. So they were sitting there, they were waiting, and Cat Pillar came up.
Frog and Toad, it's so good to see you.
She wasn't grumpy and mean. She was friendly. She seemed happy. And so they started talking with her, and Frog said, Cat, you are so different. How have you changed?
I've been transformed. By God. He just made me not so grumpy anymore. I think you guys might have noticed.
We noticed that you were a little grumpy, said Frog and Toad. How come you were so grumpy all the time?
Oh, I was angry all the time. You see, I had this body that made me look like I was a big, yellow, grish-green blob. And I just wasn't happy. I was angry. I felt like I wasn't like those that could run fast and be strong and were beautiful. I felt like a green blob. So I became angry. Then I just continued to be angry. I didn't like the things that were nice or whatever, and I just decided that I would just be by myself, you know, and work it out and be angry, and nobody wanted to be around me anyway. And I was like I was in a cocoon, not my beautiful chrysalis that I should have been in. And then, Jesus came into my heart. Did you know that? Jesus showed me love. Jesus showed me that even when I'm grumpy and mean, that he still loves me. So my heart started softening, and I became a new creation, that he showed me that I am beautiful and that I can be my own person, a more beautiful person.
Frog and Toad thought that was a pretty amazing story. And Toad said, does that mean that I don't have to worry about you eating up my milkweed?
No, you don't have to worry about me eating the milkweed. I just drink the nectar now.
Well, they thought, that that might be a good time for them to sit down and have a little tea together. So the first thing they had together were some mosquito muffins, which are always excellent, as you know. But for the first time, Frog and Toad had some of Cat's flower nectar tea, which they also really liked. After tea time, Cat went home, and Frog and Toad talked with each other. And Frog said, "Wow, that's really amazing how God's love worked in her heart and changed her so much." And Toad said, "Yep, God's love can do amazing things." And then Frog said, "Toad, maybe God's love will even help you with your grumpiness." And Toad said, "All things are possible with God." And then they laughed, and that's the end of my story. In a minute, we're going to send you on your way, but to help you remember this great story and transformation, we've got some seeds, okay? There's little packets of seeds, because seeds are other things that transform, right? Change into something completely new. So I'll give them to you in a second, but first we have to do this. Congregation, what is our prayer for these children? Here you go, guys.
Here's some. Girls, go back in the back.
We've got enough for everybody. A lot of hands reaching out here. Oh, my goodness, you guys. Miss Tina has some, too. That's the last of mine. Look, here, I'll give you some. More. More. There you go. Only plant them. It'll be something beautiful. My heavens. Is that everyone? Looks like you're doubling up there, friend.
Amen. Thank you, Gems. Before we go to God in prayer, there's a couple of matters of family concern to let you know about. Two households in our church this week said goodbye to siblings. Tom and Laura Vanderlucht are saying goodbye for now to Tom's brother, Bill Vanderlucht, who died this week. And similarly, Peter and Char Joustra and Jan Dornbos and George Zant are grieving the death of Peter and Jan's younger brother, James Joustra. So we'll pray for them and others in our church today. Let's go to God in prayer. Resurrected Lord, we come to you today with joy in the freedom of children you dearly love. We crowd the garden where you greeted Mary Magdalene. We walk the Emmaus Road with the downcast disciples. We catch our breath in awe. The sheer surprise of you, risen and living, walking and breathing, after all that you suffered. We lay down our fears and our hurts and our disappointments and our hopes, and we ask you to be all in all for us. Because you are good, and your steady, sure, swift hand is bringing the kingdom you're forming. And in the meantime, we walk in your love. So God, today, let your ancient words fill us. Let your love fill us to overflowing. Let your spirit move in us. Do not find in us hard hearts, or when you do, soften them up. We need the health and gracious strength that only you can give. So make us people of just peace in places that gravitate toward conflict, people of hope in rooms that are familiar with grief, people of faith in a world that gives us reasons for despair. We lift our world before you today, God, for our Catholic brothers and sisters who received Pope Francis's Easter blessing just last Sunday and heard of his passing on Monday. God, thank you for the humble ministry of this Pope. Give strength to those who come after. Give them lives of faith and witness as the Catholic Church moves forward in the months ahead. We pray, Lord, for the places of conflict in our world, especially for the people of Gaza and Israel, of Ukraine and Russia, of Sudan and Congo and Nigeria, where the African Widows and Orphans Support Ministry is active. God, bring justice, humanitarian relief, and movement toward lasting peace in each of those places. God, our family of faith faces joys and griefs, and we try to do that together as we can. We rejoice with Chris and Becca Hurt and their family and Chris's news of remission. We say thank you for the safe delivery of little Kaylee Marie Osterhaus and pray for your strength as Emily settles into new motherhood. We ask for glimpses of your joy for Glenn Sundstrom celebrating a milestone birthday this week. And we ask, Lord, for healing and for those in our community who need your touch. For Linda Burkhoff, Mary Mitchell, and Barb Verdine, recovering after or anticipating major surgeries, bring strength. For Mamwani and Rich Postma, and Felix and Evie, awaiting plans for Mamwani's treatment. For Steve Palazzolo, facing the effects of chemotherapy. For Dorothy Andersma, adjusting to the rhythms and routines at Provision Senior Living, give patience and grace and peace. Be close also to those who grieve, Lord. Two beloved members of this church passed from this life into your care beyond death. Comfort Jerry Tiggleman and her daughters and their families following Andy's death, and Harriet Hasper and her extended family following Bob's death. Give them strength today and hope for the days ahead. Uphold Tom and Laura Vanderlucht and Pete and Char Joustra and Jan Dornbos and George Zant, as each one has said goodbye for now to a brother. Comfort them in the assurance of your resurrection. Jesus, you were dead, and you're alive again. The miracle of your resurrection changes everything for us. You've picked us up and set us on our feet and given us new clothes, offered us your eyes and your heart and your hands. Remind us today that it's not by our own perceptions or our own power that we see light or make things right. As we continue as your people on the way, Help us look for and point others towards signposts of your gracious reign, because those things give light to this world. Amen.
Thank you.
Our Bible reading this morning is one that you gems are very familiar with because you've been studying it all year. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. That is found on page 1761 in your pew Bibles. This very well-known and very rich text has been the center of what these kids have been thinking about all year as they think about transformation. Let's read it together. Here's Paul talking to us. And Paul says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper act of worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." This is the word of the Lord. It may surprise you to hear that when I was 9 years old, I was small and I was skinny. I was very small and very skinny. In fact, I was so small and skinny that when I was nine, that my socks would not stay up on my legs. Okay, so my ankles were so skinny that they didn't make the elastic of the sock expand, and so my socks would just come and sit right down in my shoes. And it was actually a little worse than that. When that happens to you, when they're all scrunched down at the bottom and you wear them all day, what happens is they start to go around your ankle and they end up balled up in your shoe. So like 3 or 4 times a day, I'd have to take off my shoes, pull up my socks, and then the process would start again. My friends didn't have that. It made me embarrassed. I looked at my skinny ankles, I looked at my bunched up socks, and I said, "I don't like the way I look. I want to be different. I wish I were different. I want to be transformed." I'm a lot older now, and my socks don't always bunch up around my ankles anymore, and that's great. But I still realize, I maybe especially realize, that my 9-year-old self, when I wanted to be different, when I wanted to change, that wasn't just something that I felt when I was a kid. That's something that every single person feels. Everyone wants to be different. Everyone has something about themselves that doesn't feel right, that they know needs to be changed. Everybody, deep down somewhere, wants to be transformed. The 13-year-old girl looks in the mirror in the morning and sees the braces on her teeth and the pimples on her cheeks. Pimples that are there no matter what she tries to get rid of them. And she says, "I want to be different." A 14-year-old boy goes to his gym class and he looks around at all the other boys who are starting to get man bodies and man voices. And his voice is still like a boy's and his body is only 5'2" tall. And he says, "I want to be different. I want to change." Everyone here wants to be transformed. It doesn't stop when you become an adult. I remember about 20 years ago, I went to a birthday party for a person who was 90 years old. 90 years old. It was a great party. We had cake. We had ice cream. We had fellowship, saying happy birthday. And afterwards, the birthday boy got up to say a few words. And he said, "You know, I've been taking stock of my life. I've been thinking things over, and I think I'm going to make some changes. I promise everyone here that I'm going to be a different person from now on." And I thought to myself, wow, 90 years old and hasn't given up on change and transformation. Every single person here, whether you're an 8-year-old gem or an 80-year-old person sitting in a pew back there, there's something inside of you that wants to be different, that knows you can be different, that knows you are supposed to change. What I want to say to you guys is that feeling that you want to change, that you want to be different, that comes from God. God has put it in your heart that we are meant to be more than what we are right now. And more importantly, and even better news, Jesus has come to this world to change us, to make us different, to transform us into something new. So today I want to talk about transformation. I'm going to use our Bible text, but I'm going to use the rest of the Bible too, and I'm going to talk about three things about transformation. I'm going to talk about the what of transformation. What are we transformed into? I'm going to talk about where does it happen in us, this transformation? Where? I'm going to talk about how. How do we actually become new people? So let's start with a what. I said everybody wants to be transformed. I said everybody feels like they should be something different. What people don't agree about is what will make them different, what will make them feel fulfilled. Some people think that more money is the trick. If we have more money and more stuff, we'd be happy, we'd be fulfilled, we'd be able to do things. That's the transformation I need, they think. Some people think they need to be transformed into somebody more beautiful. Wish I was taller, wish I was more muscular, I wish I was a blonde. Then I'd be happy and fulfilled. Some people think that the transformation they need is becoming more popular. If I was one of the popular people, if everybody liked me and everybody respected me, then I would be happy. Then I would be fulfilled. That's the way I need to be transformed. What about the Bible? What does transformation look like in the Bible? What does the Bible say that we need to be changed into? It's none of those things, right? It's not being more beautiful. It's not having more money. The Bible says that we are meant to be transformed to be like Jesus. We are meant to be connected to Jesus and have his life and his love in us. That's the transformation. It doesn't really say that in our passage. Our passage just talks about transformation. It doesn't say into what. But if you were to go back in Romans and you'd read, say, Romans 8, verse 29, it says this. Those whom God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. All right, I know that's way over your heads. But what that's essentially saying is that God has a plan for you. He's predestined something. He's a plan for you. And his plan is that you will be like Jesus. And that you'll be part of a family of people who will be connected to Jesus and will be like Jesus and have his love and have his life in us. That's what makes life fulfilled. When we want to be different, we want to be changed, that's the only thing that will make us the people we're meant to be. So what is the transformation? It's having a relationship with Jesus and having his life in us. Okay, that's the what. What about the how? How are you changed? Well, it's not in your brain. It's not just your brain. Your passage is be transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? It almost sounds like that's something that happens in your brain, right? So if we just learned everything that God teaches, if we just learned all the rules and did them in our brains, then we'd be transformed. But that's not what Paul means, and that's not how it works in real life. Let me just do a little exercise with you. Do you gems know that it is wrong to say mean things about other people behind their backs? Do you know that? You all know that. Nods everywhere. Great. Do you still sometimes say mean things about people behind their backs? Yeah. Yeah, guess what? Everybody here does too. How about this? Do you gems know that it is wrong to lie and mislead people? Yeah, lying is bad. We all know that too. Do you ever lie and mislead people? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And so does everybody here. Do you gems know that Jesus says, do not worry, that you're not supposed to worry in this life? Did you know that? Yeah, you know that in your brain, don't you? Do you ever worry? All the time, right? And so do they. You see what's going on there? This is like a big problem. We got a problem here. In our brains, we know what to do, but we can't do it. We can't do it. It's not just about your brain that gets you transformed. You know what? And you don't know this. This is the whole problem of the letter to the Romans, where your passage comes from. This is literally Paul's whole issue in the book of Romans. The whole book of Romans, right at the beginning, he says in Romans, you know, says to his fellow Jews, we have known God's law for 1,000 years. And we've studied the law over and over again for 1,000 years. We've had it taught to us over and over again. Has it made us any more moral than anyone else? No. It's not working. Romans 7, right? You remember that famous passage? The good that I would, I do not. I know what to do, says Paul. I know it in my heart. I just can't get myself to do it. Your brain is not enough. Your brain is not enough. If you're going to be transformed, what needs to be transformed in you and every single one of us is not our brain. It's the deep, deep part of us. And that's actually what Paul is saying in this passage. He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Greek word for mind there is a different word. It means new. It's called new. And the new is not just your brain. It's your heart. It's the things that you love. It's your inclinations. And it's when all of those things are transformed that you are changed. Knowing what is right is not enough. It's the deep part of you that's got to be changed. You know what this is like? This is like molasses cookies and lima beans. Molasses cookies and lima beans. Let me explain what I mean by that. I know that I am not supposed, after dinner, right before bed, I know that I'm not supposed to eat 4 molasses cookies before I go to bed. Because at my age, you know this too, that much sugar and that much fat, it's not good for you, right? I know this. I know this. But guess what? If there are fresh molasses cookies in the house, I will absolutely eat 4 molasses cookies before I go to bed. Sometimes I will eat 5. Because I love molasses cookies. Guess what I have never eaten after dinner before bed and will never eat after dinner before bed? Lima beans. It's never happened. And it's never going to happen because I hate lima beans. They're terrible. They shouldn't even be food. Right? Everybody agrees with me. Here's where I'm going with this. What if doing what is right was like molasses cookies to me? What if doing the right thing, doing what God wants, was like molasses cookies to me, but doing the wrong thing, what was evil, was like lima beans, and I hated it? You know what? I'd be a good person. I wouldn't even have to work on it. I would just do what God wants all the time. It would be as easy as eating molasses cookies. You see, that's what we're talking about. Transformation, it changes what you love so that all the time you only want what God wants and you hate what God doesn't want. And that's what we all want to be. Every single one of these people in this room with you, that's the transformation we need, and that's the transformation we're looking for every day. Okay, that's great. That's the trend. How does it happen? How do we get that? Maybe not the way you think. There's a famous minister, 75 years ago. His name is Martin Lloyd Jones, which is an impressive name. And he had a little exercise he used to do with people to check how their hearts were doing, to check how their transformation was doing. He would come up to them and say, "Are you a Christian?" And he said, sometimes they would answer, say, "I'm trying to be." Sounds like a good answer, right? I'm trying to be. Sounds like a good answer. Martin Lloyd Jones would say, if that was their answer, it showed him that they did not really understand how to change. They did not really understand how to change. Because you can't change, you can't change that deep part of yourself just by trying and just by thinking. You can't do that. Again, that's what Paul says in the book of Romans. There is only one person who can change the deep part of you and change the way you love. And that person is not you. That person is Jesus by the power of his Holy Spirit. And that actually says it in this passage. It doesn't say transform yourself by the renewing of your mind. It doesn't say, you know, go out and try and work really hard at transformation. It's all up to you. No, it says be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed. That means somebody else is doing it to you. Jesus came into this world to bring transformation. And one of the things he is transforming is all of our hearts. When he died on the cross, He washed clean that deep part of us. When he rose from the dead, he broke the power of sin over that deep part of us. And when he ascended into heaven, he sent us his Spirit so that his Holy Spirit could work on that deep part of us so that we could be changed. And that's happening in you right now. The Holy Spirit, you belong to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is in you, little by little, changing what you love, changing who you are, changing you to make righteousness and goodness to be like molasses cookies for you. And what is your job? What do you do in the midst of all this? That's verse 1. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. You just give yourself up to this thing that the Holy Spirit is already doing in your life. Spirit's already doing it. You open yourself up and say, Jesus, I want my love. I want your love and your life to fill me. This is what we do. We do it hundreds of times every day. We try to open ourselves up to what God is already doing within us. And sometimes when you offer yourself as a living sacrifice, it does feel like you're trying. It does feel like trying, but it's a different kind of trying. It's the difference between sailing and rowing. If you got to get across a big body of water, the journey of life, you can sail or you can row. If you try to sail, where's the power come from? It all comes from you. And if the wind is against you and the waves are high, I hope you have a strong back and I hope you have strong arms, because it's only going to be your power that's going to get you across. But if you're going across and you're sailing, where does the power come from? It doesn't come from you. It comes from the wind. And a good sailor spends all his or her time figuring out where the wind's coming from, where the wind is blowing, and adjusting their sails. And that's what we do as Christians. We spend all our time, where's the Spirit going? What's the Spirit doing? And then we put up our sails. We send up the sail of worship. That's what you're all doing here. Worshiping, putting up a sail. We hoist the sail of Bible study and Bible reading. Lord, what do you want? We unfurl the mainsail of prayer. So important. We laid out the spinnaker of fellowship and mutual care. When it comes to transformation, it's not our power. We still got lots to do. We're still very busy. What's transformed in us? It's the deep part of us, right? Change to be like Jesus. Where does this happen? In our hearts. How does it happen? By the power of God through his Holy Spirit. So happy sailing to all of you. Keep opening up your sails, and I feel sure that the Holy Spirit will carry you home. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the simplicity of your gospel. Lord, you know that we are trying. Every day we're trying. Help us to feel and know that this trying is not the power, but that the power comes from you. Let us feel your wind pushing us along so that we can be confident and joyful people in your world. In Christ's name we pray it. Amen.
Thank you.
Receive the strong blessing of your God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all.